Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out all the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Countless hours of content over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You want to be sure to check that out. Some of the leading conservative voices are over at America Out Loud. You know, unless if you've been living under a rock or just watching mainstream media, we all know by now that it has come out of the Durham report that Hillary Clinton spied on Donald Trump's campaign. This is the latest example of the complete double standard of the media we see. If it's a story that is anti-Trump, it gets 24/7 coverage. In this case, they aren't even mentioning it, and it's the biggest story to come out in a long time. The sad thing about the media not covering it is the average liberal will call you a conspiracy theorist if you bring it up because they didn't see it on their precious mainstream media. It looks like someone will need to be arrested for the Durham report to be taken seriously on that side of the aisle. But isn't it interesting, after 4 years of accusing Trump of everything they could, once again, it is clear it was actually the Democrats who were guilty of what they accused Trump of. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We're going to have on special guest New York Post journalist Heather Robinson. But before that, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing fine. And you said a mouthful. And before I continue on, let's just play the media running around with his hair on fire, accusing Trump of colluding with the Russians. Run the tape.
Named sources are saying it ultimately benefited the Trump administration.
Named sources tell CNN there was constant communication during the 2016 campaign between Russian operatives and top aides to then candidate Donald Trump.
Citing two sources familiar with the matter.
Intelligence officials with direct access to the information now believe with a high level of confidence that Russian President Vladimir Putin became personally involved in that covert effort to interfere in America's presidential race.
Breaking news in the Russia investigation dominates the program tonight and reaches directly into the president's inner circle.
We are covering the breaking news that Bob Mueller, the special counsel investigating ties between Donald Trump's campaign and Russia.
We've got breaking news on MSNBC. The first indictment in the Robert Mueller investigation.
But we have breaking news about special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into possible Russian meddling in the 2016 election.
Let's begin with the breaking news on the Russian investigation.
Much more on our breaking news, a federal grand jury approving the first charges in the Mueller investigation.
There you have it. It was 4 years nonstop of them constantly accusing Trump of colluding with Russia. Every breaking second, there was a breaking news cycle, and they've got to report about this, and they've got to talk about that. And according to sources, and sources said this, and sources said that. When we all knew there was a bunch of made-up BS, we all knew that the sources that CNN was talking about was probably Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, or internal staff. And if there were people at the White House who were reporting this, they were probably leftovers from the Obama administration. Or there were probably people who said, we want to go work for Trump, thinking that, no, we're going to keep him in line. But even if that were the case, it was all a ruse. There was no collusion. There was never any collusion. And now that the truth is coming out, that Hillary Clinton's camp spied on Donald Trump, they spied on him when he was candidate Trump, President Trump. And you know what, Andrew? I wouldn't at all be surprised if they're spying on him now. He sounded the alarms. Remember that epic interview with Leslie Stahl and him telling her, I was spied on? And she's like, wait a minute, Mr. President. No, wait a minute. This is 60 Minutes. We can't just say things like that that we can't validate, we can't prove. Run the tape.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
Well, there's no real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie, sir, they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
it's been totally verified.
No.
bogus claims of spying on the president's campaign.
Trump's spy claims.
Debunked conspiracy theory.
People come to QAnon through things like 9/11 trutherism, the Barack Obama birth certificate conspiracy theory, the Trump Spygate stuff.
There she is. She knew darn well what he was talking about. Now, is she going to come out and apologize? I doubt it, because as you said, Andrew, they won't even touch this with a 10-foot pole. They're busy talking about Ukraine. And that seemingly on Wednesday at 6 a.m. in the morning, or is it 6:01 in the morning, that's when Russia is going to go into Ukraine. I mean, do you guys find that hilarious that they're telling them at this time, this date, and this time, this is when we're going to declare war? Oh, please give me a break. I mean, I don't know if Putin is lying or the prime minister or the president of Ukraine, who happens to be a comedian, is lying. But I'm like, who cares about that stuff? The fact that Durham has filed a report in the courts that there was spying going on. And remember, for what it's worth, A.G. Barr, he even said it. He said it on more than one occasion that there was spying going on. Run the tape.
Yes, to me, it is sort of the doomsday scenario of abuse of government power, which is the party in power uses the police and intelligence services to tilt the field against their political opponents. And that's, you know, that's terrible from a governmental and civil rights standpoint. So, but the media was part of this. And that's, to me, probably the worst aspect of it. The so-called watchdogs of the system, they became attack dogs. They weren't watchdogs. They had no critical, they didn't use any critical faculties. In fact, things that were clearly preposterous, they took hook, line, and sinker, and they fanned the flames of this worse than anybody else. They all got out on the limb. The limb's been sawed off, but you wouldn't know it because there's, you know, they don't even say whoops.
There you have it. He even said it. A Mark Levin show. He even went before Congress and said that there was spying going on. But yet and still, the media chose to look the other way. And now that John Durham, whom they're all afraid of, they were saying, oh, he's an honest man. Now that he's coming out, because they thought he was gone, but now that he's coming out, getting the low-hanging fruit, as they used to say, well, you know, Bob Mueller, he's getting the low-hanging fruit. He's getting those people, but it's going to make its way all the way back up to Donald Trump. Heather, it did not make its way back up to Donald Trump. And so many people to this day will still say, well, if they had just given him a little more time, just a little more time, and, you know, he would have found something. You're not supposed to be finding something that's not there. If it's either there or it's not there. And there was no there there. The only there that was there was that Hillary Clinton lied. Hillary Clinton saw that she was going to lose this. So she sent out her minions, Michael Sussman, who is a former federal prosecutor working for the, what is it, Perkins Coie law firm. He went to the FBI and said, oh, guys, by the way, I just happened to stumble up on this information. And, you know, I'm just telling this to you on my own. No, I'm not working for anyone. And the FBI, as gullible as they are, under James Comey, well, I don't think they were even gullible, Andrew. I think that they wanted this. They wanted to play into this because if you recall, James Comey used this. This was the genesis of him going and telling Trump, hey, we just found out some information that people said that you did some funny things in Russia or that you had some prostitutes to pee on the bed. Once he did that, he then ran out, got in contact with CNN so that CNN can report on it and they can say, oh, it's gospel. The FBI is looking into it. And that was the genesis of this entire lie. But now we know. Now we know that spying was going on, that there was some collusion between the DNC, Hillary Clinton, and the mainstream media. Heather, thank you for joining us. What are your thoughts?
Yes, guys. I mean, I think when you have a media that it's essentially the arm of one political party, it's rife with all kinds of problems, and it's corrupt, and it's scary. I mean, I was just glancing at some of the New York Times coverage of this, and, you know, it's, look, I mean, I'm not saying that I grasp every twist and turn of this, but I do know that when you're writing 20 paragraphs of throat clearing all about how this is really very complicated and that's why it can't be reported on, and the Washington Examiner and Fox News are not mainstream media outlets, and I mean, it's like this, it's like reading Pravda. It's like they're just backing into all of their points using all this verbiage. I've never read a news story like this. It's like they're clearly just twisting themselves into a pretzel to avoid the simple connecting of the dots here. That it seems, I mean, there may be some complexity to the machinations that took place, but it's emerging that Hillary Clinton's campaign was employing people to go to the FBI and not disclose that they were getting this, that they were hired by the Clinton campaign. I mean, these tech people and lawyers, and there was an investigator. I know that came out a while ago. Remington Steele or somebody was sent to Russia to dig up dirt on Trump. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of shysting that clearly went on. And I mean, I just think it's an outrage. I think how much money, how much taxpayer money and time was spent on this, harassing Trump through 3 years of his presidency? Who's going to pay for that? Maybe Hillary Clinton should, at the very least.
Yeah, maybe she should pay for it. $34 million, I think. Bob Mueller wasted. She's got it. He wasted taxpayer money and then hiring all of these Barracuda attorneys who were constantly leaking. And then they left his from working for him and went to MSNBC, Weissman, who has a record of bullying people, exaggerating, and doing everything else that skirts the line of being illegal. But it's interesting how this story came out and none of the news organizations wanted to touch it, but they inundated us nonstop for 4 years about Russia collusion. And I think that when this is all said and done, and I've said this before, and I give no mercy whatsoever, because my fear is that if we don't squash this now and hold these individuals accountable, they will never be held accountable. And this will go down in history as being the truth. It's already out there that people still believe that Trump colluded with Russia. And I always said, Andrew, just reach out to Putin, ask him. He's probably laughing at us. I'm surprised that Putin hasn't tried to sue. But I mean, you have to give it to him. He's been quiet as it's kept, I guess, because he liked the adulation. He liked people thinking that he could control, knowing that he had no control over this. There was no Russia collusion. Now, if you remember, I can't think of his name right now. He worked up under Sessions, the AG who came out, the assistant attorney general who came out and said that there were Russians who spent all of, I think, $100,000 to put up ads on Facebook, and that those ads were designed to help Hillary and to help Trump. It's like they were working in opposition of the other, because there were some that were going against them. But there was nothing tied to President Trump. So you had this guy, Michael Sussman, working for the Perkins Coie law firm. And that law firm, if I were them, I would just shut down. Because there's another attorney, Mark Elias, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign general counsel. he's also somehow tied up into this. But the way the story goes, which is rather interesting, is that Michael Sussman apparently hired this tech guy to do data mining using some system called DNS. And I think the guy who owned it, his name is Michael Jaffe. And that Michael Jaffe is now claiming that, hey, I had nothing to do with this. They just came to me and said, data mine, and that's what I did. But in doing so, he tapped into Trump Towers, his apartment. He tapped when Trump was then candidate, Trump. He then, when Trump went on to the White House, and they saw that he was going to win, they continued the lie, and he tapped into the White House computer system, trying to get information. Now, if there had been any evidence of collusion, don't you think the media would have put it out there? But when you think back those 4 years, they always said, we got it, we got it. Remember Adam Schiff would hold these secret meetings, and then he would come out saying, oh, we got the information. It's damning information, and it's credible. But he never told us what they had. Whereas the other representatives and senators that would go inside these rooms, they knew that he had nothing, but they could not talk. They couldn't say anything. They would just say, well, I don't know which meeting he was in, but the meeting that we attended, there was nothing there. But Adam created the persona that something did happen. And because voters aren't tuned in, they were so into wanting to get Trump. And for what? What did this man, or what has this man done? Okay, he's bombastic. But you look at what he did for the country compared to what Biden is doing. You look at the respect we got from other countries, and people would say, oh, he's going overseas and he's looking like a bully. No, he was getting respect. He was showing them, you're not going to walk over us. If we're giving you money, you're going to give us reverence. You look at the soy boy. Yes, I said soy boy in Canada. Look at what he's doing. A modern day dictator. But you have people like Joe Scarborough rooting him on. Oh, yeah, he's showing them. He needs to do this and he needs to do that. It's like, are you serious? This is democracy. Canada is supposed to be about freedom and democracy and exchanging of ideas, but they want to shut down the truckers. So you have all of this going on. But the mainstream media, they're pivoting, they're pontificating. They don't want to talk about it. And the reason why I think they don't want to talk about it, Heather and Andrew, is because they will find themselves indicted in on this. And they should. If John Durham does a thorough job, I think that it will lead back to them as well. And in my opinion, they should all be carted off to jail. Show them no mercy whatsoever. You can't show them any mercy. I'm not saying to gloat. So I hope Trump doesn't gloat, but we can't show them mercy because this is for the sanctity of our country. It is to show that laws, our laws are respected. And it's also to respect the Constitution. This stuff cannot go on. And it is worse than Watergate, Mr. Bernstein. It is worse than Watergate, Bob Woodrow. It is worse. Because what these people did to spy on a sitting president in order to remove him, because they didn't like what happened. They didn't like the fact that a simple man, not a politician, bested Hillary Clinton. And Obama didn't like it either because Obama thought, if you recall, he went on, I think it was a late night show saying that, you know, at Donald Trump, you'll never be president. He became president. And I think all of them to this day have a bitter taste in their mouth. What do you two say?
Yeah, Rob, very well said. And I want to take it back in the conversation a little bit because you said something very, very important earlier. You mentioned that they are probably still spying on President Trump when I think after what has come out, that is definitely happening. I mean, if they did it before he was president, while he was president, With Biden and the Democrats in power now, why wouldn't they still be doing it? And I think it's just so sad if you look at what the Democrats are attempting to do to President Trump. It's they're the ones that always rail and talk about democracy, and Republicans are trying to attack democracy. But here they are, a former president, and they're just obsessed with taking this guy down. It's a straight witch hunt. And I just think that is really sad what President Trump and his family have had to go through and continue to go through.
Yeah, I wouldn't at all be surprised if they're still trying to spy on him at Mar-a-Lago. They're looking for something that just isn't there. You look at Letitia James. I want to sit down and I want to talk to Ivanka Trump. I want to talk to the Trump children. Look, Letitia, if you have the evidence, then just charge them. What are you waiting for? Why do you want to talk to them? But see, they're creating this air that there's something that's there. And of course, the media will not sit down and articulate what she's doing or what she's saying. And when I say the media, unfortunately, I have to bring in Fox News also, because the other day I was watching Bret Baier and he had Juan Williams on. Juan Williams, and I don't know if you guys know this about Juan Williams, but he was fired from NPR because he made the comment back in 2010 or 11 that whenever he's getting ready to get on an airplane and he's getting on and he sees a Muslim man, he becomes fearful. So he was just speaking, you know, how he felt. They didn't like it, so they fired him, which I think is unfortunate. But
wow, I can't believe that you can get fired for that.
Yeah, they well
today's it was America.
NPR, you know, they're trying to virtue signaling. But the point that I wanted to make is that he was on Bret Baier, whatever his name is, and he made the comment that Hillary Clinton, that there was no spying, and that what John Durham was doing, it, you know, really didn't make any sense, and Brett allowed him to say it and not challenge him on it. And see, and that's what I have an issue with. You cannot allow people to make comments or to say things that you know to be untrue and you move on. Look at what happened with Leslie Stahl when she spoke incorrectly about Trump being spied upon and he pushed back. You think back those 4 years. During the debates, Chris Wallace, who's no longer on Fox, which is good, he's now on failing CNN, and I'm hearing that he's freaking out because he thinks that, oh, I don't have any protection because Jeff Zucker is gone and Jake Tapper does not like me. What am I going to do? Well, hey, don't go back to Fox. Maybe you should retire. But you think about those debates, how things were said, and Trump was never able to, he would push back, but they would shut him down. And now that this information has been released about what John Durham is doing, the media is trying to shut it down. They don't want it out there. And big tech. And you know what else? This is interesting, guys. I want to share this with you. The clip of Leslie Stahl and President Trump with him saying, yes, I was spied upon. I took a snippet of that clip and I posted it on Instagram. Would you believe me if I told you that they took it down? And immediately they took it down. I have posted that clip previously. I think when it first happened, I posted it. They said nothing about it. But this time, I guess because there's credibility behind it, they took it down. And this is their reasoning. We have to take this down because we don't think that you received permission from CBS to put the clip up. I'm like, are you serious? I didn't get permission. But yet and still, they can get my clips and put them up all day long. They didn't get permission from me. I'm like, this is in public domain. I can use a clip whatever way I want to use it. Are you guys getting permission to use the clips that you're using? Absolutely not. So I thought it was interesting that they wanted to take it down because they didn't want people to see it. Then they came back and they said, well, it's up, but only certain people are allowed to see it. So they changed the algorithm. These guys are all in cahoots because they're trying to protect. It's not only protect Biden, but it's the new world order. It's the great reset. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to censor anyone that does not believe in what they believe, They're crazy ideas. So 2022 cannot get here fast enough, and we must run to the polls and shut them out completely. And the people that get into office, they must come down hard on these folks, because this is the only way we will be able to protect our democracy. Heather, what do you say?
I mean, yeah, I think that it's a spooky time. I mean, I was talking to a friend today, and I was saying, look, it's emerging that there were all these improprieties on the part of the Clinton campaign, that they were pushing and trying to plant the idea that Trump was colluding with Russia. None of this came to anything. And now there's some kind of smoking gun about it, with the tech guy. And anyway, a friend of mine who's a conservative himself just said, yeah, but, you know, what's anybody going to do about it? I mean, it's in the past and they're not going to do anything about it. But I agree with you. It's major. And I am not surprised. I mean, to me, as we discussed many times, it was very clear that the establishment media and the left, hard left leadership, and the rank and file followers would have done anything to get rid of Trump. They were whipped up and whipped themselves up into complete hysteria about him. I still don't understand what exactly happened in this country. I think it was a kind of mass hysteria event, but they would have done anything. And I think that that's the sad and scary thing for our whole way of life. And I don't know what the answer is, but I hear you. I hope you're right, Rob. I mean, I hope there are consequences for the Clintons and for the people who did this. I mean, it's a terrible assault on the people's choice. You know, as I felt all along, I felt resentful on the practical level, just that we weren't able to get, I mean, even with this albatross on him, Trump brought a lot of improvements. He was a good president in many ways. And imagine what he could have done if they hadn't been continuously harassing him and throwing a tantrum, and it turned out undermining him, using the agencies of our own government to spy on him for, you know, years. I mean, what could the country have reaped? What about the country? You know, what about the fact that we were supposed to be governed by someone who brought fresh perspective and skills? You know, we didn't get the full benefit of that because they were underhandedly sabotaging him. And there should be consequences. I don't know if there will be, though.
Yeah, well said. And from where I'm sitting, we're a lot better off back in like 2018, 2019, when President Trump was running the country, than we are right now. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud. We're here on iHeartRadio, Monday to Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, and 6 on the West Coast. You can also find America Out Loud on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com for all the articles and shows. We'll be right back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew, with our special guest, Heather Robinson.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep, with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
And we are back at After Dark with Rob and Andrew, and our guest, Heather Robinson. And during the first half of the show, we were just talking about the Spygate and that it actually did take place. Trump was spied on. But we don't know, or we think we know, some of the players. But I would venture to say that it's a lot more people than what we think. And as I have said many times, if it goes all the way to Barack Obama, then he must be held accountable. This is not a black or white thing. This is not they're trying to get after the first black president. No, we're trying to get at the truth. Because if you want to look at it from that perspective, then you've got to look at it that they're trying to get the first president who was a non-politician. So there are many ways you can spin this, but it's about getting to the truth. And it's unfortunate that a lot of the players that participated in this coup to get rid of Trump, many of them were on the left. There were a few on the right. John Kelly, Mad Dog Mattis, Rex Tillerson. Yes, I'm going to call them out. They have to be called out. And even now, Adam Kissinger, Liz Cheney. And I question Lindsey Graham's judgment, as well as Mitch McConnell. I wanted to say their loyalty. But you know, when you say that, they'll start saying, oh, well, Trump is trying to be a dictator. Well, what is Biden doing right now? Contacting Canada, Trudeau, and telling him to crush the truckers, crush them. You're trying to be a dictator and dictate to him what he should do? Look, you need to focus on our border, man. There's a crisis there. And then he gave some, did you guys hear about the joke that he gave about a dead dog? That there was a dead dog in the yard and he went and put it on some lady's porch in spite. It was a crazy story. I ran across it. But back to the whole Spygate thing. I want to get this in because I think this is important to know. Heather, you were saying that there should be ramifications and there should be justice and that we should get to the bottom of this. Well, interestingly enough, and I've said this before, DC is a cesspool. It's also a sex pool of creatures that are there, but it's a cesspool of swampers. If we're going to get to the bottom of this, we need to keep our eyes on Merrick Garland. Because Merrick Garland's attorney who represents him is a lady by the name of Maggie Goodlander. Maggie, interestingly enough, is married to Jake Sullivan. Who is Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor to President, oh my gosh, I dare I say that, to President Biden. Okay, now it becomes even interesting because Jake Sullivan, if you recall, back in 2017, 18 and 19, was running around on TV saying that there was information that Trump had colluded with the Russians. For some reason, he always found his way in the line of the leakers. They were leaking information to him. And he would come out to the media and make the rounds. Who is Jake Sullivan? Not only is he President Biden's national security advisor, but he also happened to work for and with the Clintons. They held him in high esteem. So this guy is connected to all of these lies. He's connected to all of this Spygate. So the attorney, Michael Sussman, who happened to be, as I said, a former federal prosecutor, knew exactly what he was doing when he went to the FBI and said, oh, I stumbled upon this information. You might want to check it out. And like clockwork, James Comey jumped up on it. And then that's when the web, the tentacles of deceit started to form. Now, here's something that's interesting also, guys. Why is it that when Bob Bobulinski came out to Tucker Carlson, and said, I know Joe Biden and his son, and yes, they were doing a deal together with China. And when he reached out to the Senate and to the FBI to share his story, quiet as it was kept, no leaks, no one said anything about it. Why is it also? Now, I'm just getting down to the nitty-gritty of all of this. that when we found out about Hunter Biden's laptop, quiet as is kept, there have been no leaks. No one has said anything. No one has said anything about Hunter Biden and Ukraine receiving money from them or receiving, I think, $100,000 or $200,000 from a mayor of Russia, the mayor's wife. Here's something else that's going to hit you in the face. Did you guys know that while we were in lockdown, a lot of things changed, but they were pushing electric cars, electric cars, electric cars. Well, guess who's tied in with that? Hunter Biden. How is he tied into it? Well, he was successful in getting a country in Africa to sell their cobalt to China so that China can operate the company. And you say, where is cobalt? Well, that helps with the electricity for these cars. It's an incestuous relationship. All of this happened when we were in shutdown. The media will not touch it. They're looking the other way. Now, some of you will ask, well, how do you know about it? Well, because I did my research. I started looking at, well, why is there a push for electric cars? Why are we hearing so much about them? And where is the battery coming from? Well, the battery will come from the cobalt that was in Africa. So once again, they're raping Africa of its natural resources. Hunter Biden puts together a deal with China, because we know that China is already in Africa, as well as other parts of the world. And Biden said that, oh no, they're our friends. Clinton even said it, and Obama even said it, that a strong China is a partner to the United States. There's your collusion. There's your spy gate. But quiet as it's kept, the media will not touch it. They won't say anything. They will allow this stuff to perpetrate and keep going on and on and on. At some point, it has to stop. Do you guys have any other comments on this? I mean, because I could just go on, and it burns my blood, makes my blood boil when I see what we went through for 4 years, and it was all a lie, one big lie.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, Rob. It's very frustrating, as it has been to all of us all along. And, you know, I've used the Alice in Wonderland analogy before, where, you know, everything up is down and down is up and you're through the looking glass. I mean, I have felt that way right along. Just that, you know, and it makes me sound, I mean, I don't mean to say Trump was perfect or this or that, but I mean, the degree of irrationality was astounding to me, and the hatred, the degree to which people were inculcated by the media, mainly with this repetition of the word racist over and over and over, despite any compelling evidence that he was uniquely or virulently racist, you know, more than plenty of people are, you know, of all backgrounds and races. I mean, the whole thing was just, it just was crazy. And this is just more evidence, more concrete, specific evidence that there was an intentional, concerted effort to unseat him as president.
And Heather, not only that,
nobody, you know, who isn't on the conservative side of the aisle seems to care. And people seem to have accepted that the media, the legacy media, most of the media, it's just going to continue and cover what it wants and ignore what it doesn't want.
Well, that scares me. Something that you just said, that even conservatives, they seem to be like, the sense of urgency to get to the bottom of this sans a handful. The others like, okay, fine, let's just move on. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
These news outlets won Pulitzer Prizes for lying. They lied. All of it was a lie. So in my opinion now, unless the Pulitzer Committee comes and removes their prizes and take them back, Pulitzer has no value whatsoever. But for
lied or they were duped.
Well, I don't even think they were duped. I think they willingly, I mean, when you look at the evidence and you look at what they were telling us, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say This makes no sense. As a reporter, as a journalist, they're supposed to be inquisitive. They're supposed to get down and dig into the story, and they didn't do it. They kept reciting talking points, all of them, as if though they got up at 5 a.m. in the morning and someone sent out an email and said, this is what we're going to say today. Russia collusion, Russia collusion, Russia collusion. Okay, let's change it. And let's now say racism, racism, racism. Okay, now let's change it and say, don't say freedom. I mean, it was the same line, the same script over and over again. And as I said, no one was pushing back. No one was saying, wait a minute. And when you did, when I pushed back, when Andrew pushed back, we got kicked off social media because mm-hmm. they didn't want our voices out there. I didn't know my voice was that large. Was that big? I didn't know it was resonating with so many different people, but they were afraid and they couldn't take the risk. And you see that happening now on so many different levels. You look at the shutdown, you look at COVID. It was more than just COVID. It was about control. Let's see if we can do it. And if you guys go back and look at some of our earlier tapings, recordings on Facebook and YouTube, you will see that we, me, Andrew, and Heather, we talked about this. We talked about the shutdown and what they were going to do during the shutdown. So it's nothing new. It is nothing new. So I am not at all surprised about anything that's happening. But what does scare me is that if we are unable to put the kibosh on this, if we're unable to bring these people to justice, I mean, and they're always looking for justice. We want justice. We want justice. When do we want it? We want it now. No justice, no peace. If we're unable to stand together in a united front and put this thing to bed and demand justice, and you got to look at it. You look at a lot of these judges. A lot of the judges are activists. Just the other day, look at what happened to Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Against the New York Times, a lawsuit against the New York Times. And the jury went into deliberation. Before they came out, the judge, who happens to be a Democrat, an appointee by Bill Clinton, I think his name was Justice Ratcoff, made the comment and said, you know, I am going to dismiss this case because mm-hmm. I don't think that Sarah Palin, what did he say? She proved her case, that there was malice in what the New York Times did. No, the New York Times blatantly lied. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that as a journalist, you know,
I have a somewhat different view, Rob. I think that what they did was lousy, crummy journalism, as we've seen right along through so much of Trump's candidacy and his presidency. There's been so much smearing of him and his family, so many, you know, cleverly cut videos and so much aggressive distortion of his words. You know, but I do know a little bit about media law, and I know that the standard for convicting a journalist is very high.
Yep.
And of course, you know, as a journalist and as well, you yourself, you know how important that is. It's, we don't want a society where it's easy to put people in jail for writing things that offend us, whoever we are. And because there would be no end to it. And that's what goes on in most of the world. So, you know, the founders and conceived the First Amendment as a bulwark against too much government power over speech, over expression, over media, over art, over freedom. And so that's why I don't necessarily disagree with the judge's decision, because I think that it's a very hard thing to prove. You know, even if you suspect maybe that this person had malice in their heart when they wrote that, it's another thing to prove it in a court of law. And that is the very high standard that needs to be met. That said, I do want to say that, I mean, I think that what was done to Sarah Palin, not just by that so-called journalist, but by Katie Couric with her gotcha journalism, and by Saturday Night Live with its endless repetitive. I mean, look, I think it's great Sarah Palin could take a joke, but the boring, repetitive, ad nauseum kind of ridicule of her by Tina Fey, the very overrated Tina Fey, I think really did serve to distort this woman's record of achievement. keep in mind, you know, we're in a time when we're told women are ascending to greater opportunity and power, and this is a wonderful thing. And I think it's true that, look, when it comes to leadership in this country, women are underrepresented. We for such a strong feminist country, I mean, we don't have that many female, certainly not governors. I'm not sure what the numbers of you know, other elected representatives are, but we've never had a female president. We don't have very many female governors. This woman was one of our first and only female governors. And by anybody's assessment, I challenge anyone to argue she was not a successful governor of that state. She achieved a lot of concrete good and improvement. I remember she did a lot on energy policy. She was exposed a lot of corruption. I don't remember all the details, but she had many, many great victories. You know, unlike the very overrated Hillary Clinton, who I don't even know what Hillary Clinton ever accomplished other than being on the job and, you know, talking the talk. I mean, this was a woman who really did accomplish some concrete good in her part of the country. And she was just made nothing of by the so-called free press of this country, mm-hmm. at a time when we're supposed to care for and exalt women and women's rights and achievement. This was a woman who got there on her own steam, did not have a fancy education and didn't have all kinds of connections. She was a hard worker and she did very well for the state of Alaska. And whether you like her or not, and people thought she was unschooled in the ways of Washington, she wasn't ready. There may have been some truth to that, but to make nothing of her as was done. Look, I don't think it's not illegal and you can't start putting journalists in jail for it, but I do want to state for the record that I think it was lousy. It was hypocritical of the so-called feminist Democrats. And, you know, people should remember that, you know, they're a bunch of hypocrites when it comes to wanting to take down, you know, an accomplished woman. And they did it. They destroyed her politically.
Right. No, I agree with what you were saying and what I was going to add on to it, although I think that the judge, I think he should have waited to give his comments, because mm-hmm. as you said, as a journalist, mm-hmm. we don't want to be in a situation by whenever we write something, someone can come out and sue. They say, okay, liable, this was malice. There was a movie right. that came out years ago titled The Absence of Malice. It was a really good movie. Mm-hmm. And and then that's when they were making great movies for you to understand what journalism was about. And as you said, the New York Times was sloppy, and they've been sloppy on more than one occasion.
And they're biased, absolutely. You know, but it's not illegal to be biased.
When they printed the piece, the editor did come back the next day and they corrected it. Now, it would lead me to believe that he knew what was there, but they wanted it to sit there for a while and say, okay, now we're going to correct it. And that shouldn't happen. If mm-hmm. in journalism, you have to be objective. And I think that the objectivity of the past couple of years has just like went out the door. And now journalists have become activists, and some mm-hmm. of them have become an arm of the Democrat Party. I remember Trump would attack on Fox News, his name escapes me right now, saying that, you know, you're supposed to be for me. It's like, no, you're not. He's just supposed to report the facts. And the fact that the reporter responded back to him, I thought, okay, that's very little of you. We know what you're supposed to do. You don't have to respond in kind to him. You just do your job. What is a guy's name? I see him right now and I just can't, I'm drawing a complete blank.
Yeah, well, and also opinion journalism has its place and
it has its place, right.
It's important, but there's an ethical way to do it. You don't, you know, I think that from what I read, part of the problem, I mean, this was an opinion, it was a unsigned editorial. It was in the opinion section, but to assert that Palin was inciting something because of essentially what was a figurative language. It was a figurative image on some campaign materials that showed crosshairs. I mean, by that standard, and I'm sure this man is smart enough to know it. Look, any figurative language, we've talked about this. How much do we hear all through the spring and summer of 2020? Let's fight for the justice. Let's burn it down. should every person who said that be prosecuted? I mean, I think that's more direct incitement than the image of crosshairs, which is a symbol. It's not meant literally. So, yeah, I think that this guy is probably plenty smart enough to understand symbolism and that this was not direct incitement to violence. But, you know, my guess would be that they wanted to, this is what they do at the New York Times and at CNN these days, is they
whip up
this narrative, you know, that if there's a shooting, you know, it's automatically got to be blamed on conservatives. And they wanted to smear her and to mischaracterize her as somebody who's like egging on violence, and I don't think that's accurate. And it was a low blow, and it was cheap, and it was dishonest. But you know, again, that's my judgment. And to prove that person, you know, knew it was untrue, it's an impressionistic enough kind of point, I think, that it's hard to prove. You know, to prove in a court of law that he knew that wasn't true and that he did it to hurt her and damage her. It's just a very hard thing to prove. And, you know, in some ways you want it to be hard to prove because,
right.
You know, it's...
Because you don't want journalists just being sued all the time.
Yeah,
Now, let me just pivot slightly to bring up another topic that I found interesting. And this is on, let's see... AOC and her commentary that the reason why there's so much crime in New York City is because people are stealing baby formula. That once they stopped the child credit that parents were getting, that people started resorting to stealing baby formula. Like, are you serious? And that's the reason why there's a lot of crime. That's the reason why a lot of women lately have been attacked. Just the other day, a Asian woman was killed by a homeless man who went inside her building, followed her, got inside of her apartment, and stabbed her. Mm. You open the paper, you see this nonstop. Where are the feminists? Why aren't they saying all of these laws, they're affecting women? We're putting women's lives in danger. And you see it over and over again. And no one is saying anything. No one is calling out D.A. Bragg. I mean, we had a guest on last night who was talking about this exact same thing, Madeline Brom. She was on, I think it was Tuesday night. And then last night we had Jackie Tobaroff who was on, and she too was talking about the violence in the city. Mm-hmm. But no one is saying anything. It's as if though, oh, okay, that's just the way it is. No, that's just not the way it is. It can be better. And we have to fight for it. All these things that are happening, like a lot of this took place when we were in shutdown. And a lot of this started taking place when Trump came to power because he said, hey, I'm going to expose all of this. And the left went crazy. They're counseling each other. They're stumbling over each other. But the comments that AOC made that we have all this crime because people are stealing baby formulas. And here's the other thing. If you criticize her, she says that you're criticizing her because you want to sleep with her. I'm like, lady, are you serious? So I guess it goes for you also, Heather. So you can't criticize her. No one can criticize her. Because if you criticize her, you want to sleep with her. I'm like, she's full of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Come on. She's flattering herself.
And why isn't CNN, why aren't they mad at her that she has all these followers and all these viewers? People are listening to her. I mean, when she came out, it was a novelty. People were like, oh, wow, she's young and she's doing things. But now we see through the facade. We don't even have to see through the facade. Just look at her. You can see she's dumb as a rock, dumber than a rock. She just repeats talking points. She just says the same thing over. She doesn't seem to be an in-depth person who thinks very deep. It's all on the surface. Oh, I'm going to say this and people will like it. And if that is the case, it speaks volume as to the way our educational system is, because a lot of people that follow her are young people and they're not deep thinkers. That's really sad. That is really sad. What do you guys think?
Well, I like to try. I mean, I hear you, and I think that's sobering. I think it's not just the young people, Rob. I don't think there are too many deep thinkers running around in this country at this point. I think there are a lot of smart people who have high enough IQs and take in a lot of information, but there's a lot of groupthink and thinking along and within certain lines. To have an independent mind is becoming increasingly a real rarity. I do know some young people who I do think they're smart. I do think they have, a freshness of perspective. And I try to keep an open mind because I believe it's a sign of age when we think that everybody younger than us is a fool. I think that, we get a little set in our
ways. I think they are fools.
Well, but, but on the other hand, I do think we're in a media saturated society where the attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. There's not a lot of respect for history, as we see. It's not just the young people. I mean, look at Whoopi Goldberg, not to bring that all up again. I noticed she's back on the job. But I mean, I think a lot of people, someone said to me the other day, maybe she just didn't know about the Nazis' theories of racial superiority, and maybe she just never learned it. I actually don't think she's an unintelligent woman, but education, a deep education, a rigorous education is kind of, increasingly a rarity too. I mean, even the top schools, there's more and more just inculcating people along certain lines and certain specific lines only. It's the leftist agenda, and it's removing a whole bunch of areas of depth and just critical thinking, I guess, from people's minds. I'll tell you what, I find more in common and interesting and fresh with the regular people of society. I have a friend who's married, and without getting into the details, my friend went to Harvard and she's, a brilliant woman academically, and she's married to a nice guy who works in food service. He's not an intellectual. And we got into a conversation the other day about Israel. And my friend started saying to me, oh, come on, people aren't against Israel. Nobody hates Israel. No, whatever. She was just, it was a little like the Whoopi Goldberg thing. I don't think she was trying to be offensive. It was just, that's from her point of view. Anyway, her husband, who's kind of the regular guy, said, no, a lot of people do. They are biased against Israel. And, my point is, he gets along in the real world and she's in the Ivy Tower world. And I think that the sad thing is, even people who are educated now, a lot of them are educated just to think along certain lines and certain lines only.
Which is unfortunate. And you're right.
It's not just young people. I mean, these people have been coming through the educational system for the past 20, 30 years of this. And now they're middle-aged people, and they're the ones running a lot of the world, I think, And I think they lack depth. They lack a respect for history, rigorous critical thinking skills, and they don't want any cognitive dissonance. And it gets back to what we're always talking about on here. We're dealing with a brainwashed population at this point.
Yeah, it seems like the divide continues to get worse and worse the more time that goes by. Thank you so much to our guest, Heather Robinson, for joining us, journalist from the New York Post. We appreciate her joining us once again tonight. And thank you all for joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who's coming up on its 6th year since it is launched. It's already been 6 great years for America Out Loud. Be sure to go to the website and check it out. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.